Vienna, 1882. In a dimly lit cafe, renowned physician Josef Breuer contemplates an elegant note requesting an urgent meeting about the future of German philosophy. Despite his skepticism, he agrees to meet Lou Salome, a brilliant young woman who delivers shocking news. Friedrich Nietzsche, a philosopher whose genius remains largely unrecognized, stands at the precipice of suicide. His physical symptoms are devastating, crippling migraines, violent nausea, compromised vision, chronic stomach ailments, insomnia, and dangerous morphine dependency. But these merely mask a deeper psychological crisis. Lou reveals her knowledge of Breuer's groundbreaking talking cure with Anna O and confesses her personal role in Nietzsche's despair. Her rejection of his marriage proposal catalyzed his descent. The challenge seems insurmountable. Nietzsche, fiercely independent and opposed to conventional medicine, would never voluntarily seek psychological treatment. Their solution? Franz Overbeck, Nietzsche's trusted friend, will convince him to seek Breuer's medical expertise for physical symptoms, creating an opening for deeper intervention. This carefully orchestrated plan sets in motion an extraordinary intersection of medicine and philosophy that will transform both men's understanding of suffering, truth, and the human psyche. When Breuer and Nietzsche meet, the contrast is stark. Breuer, respected, conventional, secure, examines Nietzsche, a wanderer without home or recognition. Nietzsche separates pain from despair. My illness belongs to the domain of my body, but it is not me. I have a why of living and can put up with any how. Behind Breuer's professional facade lies a man in crisis. At 40, despite accomplishments, he feels hollow, suffering from nightmares, obsession with former patient Bertha Pappenheim, and a distant marriage. Death imagery invades his thoughts as he imagines his wife aging, and he escapes into work rather than connecting with family. After Nietzsche's severe migraine, Breuer hears him whisper, "Help me," revealing vulnerability Lou never mentioned. This connection triggers Breuer's proposal. "Save me," Breuer implores. "I'm drowning in nihilism." He proposes they exchange services. He'll treat Nietzsche's body while Nietzsche treats his mind. When Nietzsche objects that he writes for humankind, Breuer counters that studying individual cases leads to universal understanding. Their therapeutic sessions begin with Nietzsche listing Breuer's complaints: unhappiness, alien thoughts, self-hatred, fear of aging, and suicidal urges. When Breuer objects, Nietzsche admits, "Do not mistake awkwardness for callousness. I'm not accustomed to easy social exchange." Breuer reveals his alien thoughts stem from obsession with his beautiful patient, Bertha Pappenheim. His wife grew resentful, and nurse Eva even offered herself as a sacrifice. The situation peaked when Bertha falsely claimed pregnancy with Dr. Breuer's baby. Nietzsche challenges his double standard. "You are responsible for all your thoughts, whereas she, by virtue of illness, is exonerated." He asks provocatively, "If you were not thinking these alien thoughts, what would you be thinking?" Through subsequent sessions, Nietzsche employs various techniques to help Breuer overcome his fixation. The breakthrough comes when Breuer realizes Bertha represents escape from his safe, predictable life. "Living safely is dangerous," he repeats, after Nietzsche suggests safety might be the true danger. At Vienna's Central Cemetery, Nietzsche points out that Breuer's patient shares his mother's name, a connection Breuer initially dismisses. Nietzsche argues that unconscious memories govern our lives more than we realize. Breuer admits cemetery visits once comforted him, but now provoke terror, connecting this to his nightmare of falling onto a marble slab. Nietzsche interprets this symbolically, questioning which Bertha, mother, or patient Breuer truly seeks. Breuer confesses his mother died when he was 3, leaving no memories. His wife lacks the magic he craves, that adoring look with wide-open eyes and half-smile saying, "You're adorable. Anything you do is all right." Nietzsche reveals they've been fighting the wrong enemy, not Bertha herself, but what she represents, Breuer's fear of death and meaninglessness. He introduces eternal recurrence, challenging Breuer to imagine living his exact life infinitely. "This is the most important thing I will ever say to you," Nietzsche insists. When asked his reaction, Breuer exclaims, "I hate it! To live forever with the sense that I have not lived? The idea fills me with horror." Then, Nietzsche urges, "Live in such a way that you love the idea." Under Freud's hypnosis, Breuer envisions abandoning his family, writing farewell letters, and departing with mixed feelings of burden and liberation. In his vision, he visits Bellevue Sanatorium, where he secretly observes Bertha with her new physician, Dr. Durkin. Witnessing the same pattern of symptoms and seduction he experienced, Breuer has a revelation when Bertha calls Durkin "little father," words once meant for him. He realizes he's merely replaceable in her perpetual performance, breaking her hold on him. In Venice, beardless, he feels suddenly old and lost until clarity strikes. He doesn't want another woman. "I love Mathilde. This is insane. Why did I leave her?" Breuer awakens from the trance and that evening sees his wife anew, appreciating her aging features. "I've decided to marry you," he tells her. When she reminds him of their 14-year marriage, he replies, "What's important is that I choose to do it today and every day." As their month together ends, Breuer challenges Nietzsche about whether he truly saw Lou Salome as she was. Nietzsche initially dismisses women, but then unexpectedly begins sobbing. When urged to give his tears a voice, Nietzsche explains they come from relief. The moment he admitted never being touched was when he first allowed himself to be touched. He describes some vast interior ice pack suddenly cracked. Breuer observes, "Isolation exists only in isolation. Once shared, it evaporates." This connection transforms both men. Nietzsche marvels at finally experiencing true friendship. "I've always dreamed of a friendship where two people join to attain some higher ideal, and here, now, it has arrived." Though invited to stay, Nietzsche declines, explaining his destiny lies on the far side of loneliness. He thanks Breuer for showing him he has a choice. "I shall always remain alone, but what a difference to choose what I do. Amor fati, choose your fate, love your fate." What makes this story compelling is how it embodies André Gide's phrase, "Fiction is history that might have happened." Though Nietzsche and Breuer never actually met, the novel is grounded in historical fact. A 1878 letter discovered in the Weimar Nietzsche archives reveals this fictional premise nearly became reality. The letter shows an attempt to bring Nietzsche to Vienna for Breuer's treatment, with funding secured. The plan failed as Nietzsche was deemed too ill and had begun treatment elsewhere. This historical near miss prompts the question, what healing might have emerged from the collision of Breuer's medical insights and Nietzsche's philosophical vision? The answer lies in genuine human connection, in the courage to reveal oneself fully and willingness to witness another suffering without judgment. We all balance between safety and freedom, convention and authenticity. Healing begins with questioning whether we're living in a way we could embrace eternally, with all its pain and joy.